Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, Siobhan Doyle is the curator of glass, ceramics and Asian collections at the National Museum of Ireland in Collins Barracks, and a new exhibition of Harry Clark stained glass opened in December. It brings together some of his earliest works for the first time ever, and Siobhan joins me in studio now to tell me more about the exhibition and the man and his work. Good afternoon, Siobhan.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Now, before we get into all of that, how stressful was putting this together, seeing as you're dealing with priceless glass?
Without a doubt, the most stressful project I've ever undertaken in my career to date. We're talking about unique, irreplaceable works of art that are under my care, that I'm responsible for things like the transport of it from one building to another, hanging it up on the wall and making sure that it's protected while it's on display. So very stressful. We got there, lots of help from our amazing colleagues, but thankfully no disasters.
And it's running since December and it's been a huge success so far.
Yeah, it has. Harry Clark is just one of those rare Irish artists that just captures people from the off. Footfall in Collins Barracks has been through the roof. It's definitely the most popular exhibition from the start that I've had since I worked in the museum for 4 years. Like, it opened on a Thursday and there was people queuing at the door before the museum even opened. Brilliant. It was just crazy. But that's nothing to do with me, it's to do with Harry Clark.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about him then.
Yes, so he was a stained glass artist. He was born and raised in Dublin. His father had a church decorating business. He had a stained glass business as well. So it was kind of a no-brainer that Harry followed that route. He went to, he got a scholarship to study stained glass full-time in the Dublin Metropolitan School of Art. So we now know it as the National NCAD, uh-huh. National College of Art and Design on Thomas Street in Dublin City. And from the start, he was an exceptional talent. Like, the pieces that we have on display in the exhibition are some of his earliest pieces. And I mean, if you were in his class in college, you'd be raging. Like, sitting there looking at his pieces, he was just remarkable. Like, he had a natural talent, but he was also on the ground in his father's business all the time. So that's where he
was. Was there a national stained glass competition every year?
Yeah, there was. So it was between, it was for, first of all, there was the RDS prize, which is still runs today. He won that. But he also won a prize that was run in South Kensington. So his pieces, he won that and his pieces were on display in the V&A Museum in London. So that was for all artists that were across Ireland, Scotland, England and Wales.
Okay. Have you seen the process? Have you been in a room where stained glass has been made?
I have, and it's just as terrifying as putting them up on display. It's a very delicate, long-winded process that I certainly don't have the patience for.
Mm. And do you have to draw it first on paper?
Yeah, so the idea is, the way Harry Clark did it is he'd do his drawings, his rough drawings of the piece. So just on a piece of like A4 paper, he'd usually do it in watercolour so that you'd have an idea of the colours. And then what you do is a cartoon, which is a large scale one, so it's the same size as the window. So that's the next part of the process. And then you go into the studio and start working with the different pieces of glass and putting them in place. And then it's a very long process, but he was just the best at it.
And then it's a jigsaw puzzle at the end, isn't it?
Yeah, basically.
So there's lead that joins all the various...
Yeah, so you'll see lots of, in his pieces, you'll see lots of black pieces that he had a real talent for making the black lines look like they were part of the artwork, but they're actually what's keeping them together.
Yes.
So he was really good at that. And he also did a lot of drawing in his... incorporated.
He was a book illustrator.
So it wasn't just stained glass. And I mean, he was internationally renowned as well. So he illustrated books by Hans Christian Andersen, Edgar Allan Poe. So he was pretty much at the top of his game.
He was just a huge talent.
He really was, and a natural talent. And it's funny when you're researching someone like him, you do feel like you get to know him and you have kind of a connection with him, and he seemed like good crack as well.
Right. Yeah. Right. There are examples of his work in 16 counties around the country. I'm wondering, how do you get an exhibition together? Because when a painter paints, you know, I suppose the ultimate goal is that you frame it and it's put up for people to watch. When you do stained glass, they're supposed to be part of a building as a window. So yeah. Go on, explain the whole thing to me.
So you're right, there's in 16 counties, so wherever you are in Ireland, you're not too far away from the Harry Clark piece. Most of them are in churches. And his pieces are the pride of the parish that they're in. So it's really nice to be able to bring six pieces together because stained glass isn't that portable. As you said, it's always in churches or in cafes and Bewleys. And he has some in private, a small amount in private collections as well. So we brought six pieces together. They're some of his earliest works that were still that the four pieces that he did when he was still in college. And then we have two later pieces. And what they show is the very different styles that he had. And he was able to turn his hand to anything, really.
Yeah. And his first big commission was in a church in Cork.
Yeah, the Honan Chapel in UCC. So that was what really put him on the map. So he was commissioned to make, I think, 11 or 12 windows in 1915. They're still there. And you just walk into that chapel and you're just totally in awe, totally mesmerised by them. The detail in them is just exquisite. And even at the time, all the newspapers were raving about it. It was, and it's still a real tourist attraction.
And you were a huge fan even before you worked on this exhibition.
Yeah. I remember even long before I was curator of glass in the museum, I went to the Crawford Gallery in Cork to see their Harry Clark room that they had at the time. And I remember just sitting there and looking at them for 20 minutes, just totally, totally in awe of them and all the details in them and everything. And it's a real privilege to be able to look after them and put them on a platform for everyone to see.
And you were going, how did he do that?
Yeah, I was one of the people that was raging at his talent as well. Yeah.
So the Crawford Art Gallery, so they're part of this.
Yeah.
And the reason it's on is because they're doing what?
Yes. So the Crawford Art Gallery is closed at the moment for their buildings are undergoing a massive transformation. So we've taken their three Harry Clarks on loan to the National Museum in Collins Barracks. So they're on their holidays in Dublin for a couple of years. Because it'd be a real shame to have artworks like that in storage. So it's really brilliant to be able to work with Crawford on this as well.
So how were they transported up?
Very carefully packed in a custom-made box. And
each one had its own custom-made box.
Yeah. And like even the technology around them is amazing. Like they all have remote controls. Well, sorry, the three Crawford ones have remote controls to change the lighting on them.
Oh, right.
And our three pieces from the National Museum, we recently upgraded the lighting on them and they have Bluetooth. So I can adjust the lighting from an app on my phone. Like it's unreal, like the technology that's there now.
So you could go evening light, morning light.
Yeah. Well, they stay on the same, same at the moment. But it's nice to be able to do that if I want to. But yes, the transport was by special. We have specialist transportation within the museum and very, very careful unpacking.
Hmm. And they all made it in one piece.
They did.
Now, tell us your favourite.
My favourite is a meeting. It's one of his later pieces is made in 1918. It's a smaller piece. He worked in miniatures as well. And this was commissioned by one of his patrons. And she hung it in her home. Jane French was her name. She lived nearby, actually. And she hung it in her home. And it's a based on a German poem, Heinrich Heimann. And it's about these two, a mermaid and a merman that are dancing on the water's edge. And that's kind of a theme that's in Harry Clark's work. He really likes mermaids. So that's, and you just have to see it to be believed. It's a really small piece, but my God.
What are we talking, its dimensions?
Like A4-ish.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, yeah, so it's quite small and there's so much detail in it. And he uses this brilliant cobalt blue and it's a similar...
Striking.
Yeah. And that was really hard for stained glass to get right, but he was just able... It only took him a week to do that, a meeting. And it's just really striking.
So commissioned by one of his patrons, and you mentioned that he did private commissions before.
Yeah.
So what do you know of those apart from a meeting?
They're still, surprisingly, there's still a few around.
Like, so there, you could be on somebody's landing and there's a Harry Clark.
It could be, yeah. There's still a few around. Actually, there was a very comprehensive exhibition in the Douglas Hyde Gallery in Trinity College in 1979, and they exhibited 200 of his works. So not just stained glass, so illustrations and stuff as well. That's the most comprehensive exhibition to date. There was quite a few of those pieces on display that were from private collections and that have now since entered museum collections. Right. So they've either been donated or purchased by those museums, including some of the ones that we have on display.
And the most accessible, I suppose, if you're around Dublin, is Bewley's, is it? Or you can go to the exhibition, of course.
Yeah, go to the exhibition. We're in Collins Barracks. We're right beside Houston Station. It's free. We're open 7 days a week. You have nothing to lose when you come here. And it's so hard to talk about these pieces on the radio.
I know, it's dance like dancing on the radio. Yeah. I know. But your enthusiasm is contagious. So I'm getting that anyway. I'm getting your energy and your love of the work. So what else is happening then? Because I know the Natural History Museum has been renovated.
Yeah. So our Natural History Museum is in Merrion Street in town, and that building is closed as well because it's quite an old Victorian building that needs a lot of love.
Has it been retrofitted?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's just easier. It's easier to knock everything down.
I hope they get the grant.
But it's really tricky to work with these old buildings, but that's kind of part of the character of the museum itself. So some of the Dead Zoo is coming to Collins Barracks. So I can't wait to see the objects actually be coming in, because there'll be all sorts of animals coming through the doors and everything, and some of our glass Blaschke bits that are of amazing quality but also of international renown as well. So So they are glass replicas of jellyfish and other creatures that are made of glass.
Uh-huh.
And they're so delicate. They're actually harder than the Harry Clarks to transport.
Right.
That is not within my remit, thankfully. But we do have amazing staff within the museum that are just, they're so dedicated and absolutely one of a kind in their knowledge. So the Dead Zoo is coming to us later in this year, as is another very exciting permanent exhibition called Changing Ireland. So that's all about the 20th century history of Ireland. So through design, through military history, through music, and that's really exciting. That's coming later on in the year.
So from 1900 to 1999?
Well, to 2020, we've been a bit more flexible with the timeline just to incorporate some other key events. So we're bringing...
So 120 years.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, right.
So it's a new exhibition space. So it used to be, because our museum used to be a barracks, it used to be the soldiers' living quarters. So they used to sleep there, and then it was a storage, and now it's going to be a brand new exhibition space.
Brilliant.
So it's very exciting. We're very
busy. And the fact, as you mentioned already, that it's so close to Houston Station, it's so accessible.
Yeah.
We've spoken to you before about your work on the GAA.
Yeah.
So you're very knowledgeable there. Are you doing any other sort of side projects?
Well, actually, the first time I was on with you was to do a call out for GAA objects.
Yes.
And then the next time I was on with you was to talk about the book.
Yes.
And I remember you saying to me that day, oh, would you ever think about doing an exhibition? And that kind of planted the seed. And the book is now an exhibition in Collins Barracks, GA People, Objects, Stories. And I'm actually working on my second book, which is Irish Sport in 100 Objects. So it's telling stories through stuff, through jerseys and trophies and sports equipment. Right. And so working hard at that, and be out in a couple of years' time.
Right. What's the most unusual sport played in Ireland?
Probably bog snorkeling. Something those lines.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
What was her name?
There was a
woman, I think, who represented us in Norway or Sweden. Bog snorkeling.
Yeah, there's some very.
She was a regular on our show back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess her name was Julia or Julie.
You guess away there, right?
You know, you haven't found her yet, have you?
No, not yet. I haven't got that far, but I'm still looking for people's stories and people's objects. So if they could do, if anyone has any stories for me, they can get me at sdoyle@museum.ie.
Julia Galvin. There you go. That's a memory, isn't it? Julia
Galvin.
Yeah, she was a trailblazer in the bog snorkeling world. Yes. And thanks for bringing that in. You brought me in a hand painted ornament for our Christmas tree.
Yeah. So it's based on one of Harry Clark's pieces, A Meeting. And we have them on sale in our gift shop in Collins Barracks. So I hope you enjoy it.
And this particular one hung on the, I'm sure there was more than one of the Christmas trees in Áras an Uachtaráin over Christmas.
Yeah, we had a visit from President Higgins to the exhibition. It wasn't an official one, he just wanted to come and see for himself. So we presented President Higgins with one of these hand-painted baubles. So I believe it was on the Christmas tree in the Áras.
So he was one of the visitors. You've also had visits from Harry Clark's grandchildren, some of his grandchildren.
Yeah, to me that was more special than having the President, to be honest, because you have a direct descendant of the artist himself. Like, Harry died very young, he was 41, and he was so
tuberculosis.
And he was so productive throughout his lifetime, and to have his descendants to come in, they came into one of my curator's tours, so that terrified me a little bit, but it's lovely to get their interest and their approval of the platform that we're giving him.
Before he died, he was living in Switzerland and he was quite ill, so he was making his way back to Ireland.
Yeah, he used to attend a sanatorium, so like to get different treatments for his respiratory issues, and he was making his way home from Switzerland, and he died. The thing about him, I suppose that's kind of comforting, is that he was really well loved and acknowledged for his work during his lifetime, because a lot of time artists only get the recognition after they've died. So he got loads of commissions, loads of recognition. He was very famous in his short life, so at least he felt the love.
I'm really in awe listening to your guest there, as Harry Clark is a big favourite of mine. Is there anywhere near Gorey or Wexford to go and view Harry Clark's exhibition? Thanks, Ray. Well, you have to come to Dublin for it, but is there any...
There's Harry Clark's in Wexford.
There you go.
Yeah. In I think it's in a Protestant church in Gorey.
Right.
Yeah.
I once visited the Illustrators Museum in Manhattan. One of their exhibits was an Edgar Allan Poe book that was illustrated by...
Harry Clark.
Beautiful piece in church in Castle Townsend in Cork as well. Siobhan Doyle, always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks very much, Ray.
And good luck with the exhibition, and good luck in moving the stuff back to its original home.
But don't start. We're only after getting it up.
I know. Sorry about that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.